Last summer, my family and I went on a Disney cruise. I don't know how many of you have had the privilege of going on a Disney cruise, but it was great. Now, we had a long drive to make to our port in Florida, but after we got there, and after we got onto the ship, I mean, it was so wonderful. Mickey Mouse greeted us and welcomed us onto the ship. That was great. And then all we had to do was get our luggage to our cabin or to, and sometimes they're called staterooms. And so that's your job, to get your luggage to your stateroom. And once that happens, the crew takes over from there. And they do everything for you. You don't have to lift a finger. In fact, you can just go take your spot next to the pool in a lounge chair, and they'll even bring food and drinks to you. In fact, they'll keep bringing food and drinks to you until you're about to pop. Nobody counts calories on a cruise, because it would not be pretty, I'm sure, for most of us who've ever been on a cruise. It's just great. You don't have to do anything. In fact, you don't have to do anything in your room. When you leave your room, there are these stateroom attendants. And they're like ninjas, because you never see them in action. But if you leave your room and come back, everything's put away. Everything's clean and neat and orderly. And I tell you, I tried to catch this guy in the act, and I couldn't, because he was too stealth, and I could never catch him. So these stateroom ninjas will come in and clean your room, make up the bed and all that kind of stuff. And they are trained in some arts, because they can take regular towels and they can fold and twist these towels like origami, and they can make them into animals, or in this case, on a Disney cruise, they twist them and fold them into Disney characters, and it was great. They even come into your cabin at night while you're away for dinner. They'll sneak into your cabin, and they'll turn back your covers and put little chocolates on your pillow. Because let's face it, after a long, exhausting day of lounging by the pool and gorging yourself on all the food that they bring you, who wants to have to turn back? You don't want to run the risk of hurting your back turning back the covers, right? And so they come and do it for you. They turn it back, and it's all ready for you to get right in the bed. I mean, it's really great. See, on a cruise ship, the crew makes you the center of the universe. They make you feel like that anyway, like you're the center of the universe. They just orbit around you, doing things for you. It's all about you. That's kind of the purpose of a cruise. You want to get away, you want to kick up your heels, you want to relax a little bit, recharge your batteries. One of the big reasons to take a vacation on a cruise ship is so that you can be served. And that's great for a cruise ship. It's great on a vacation, because we all need to relax. We all need times to recharge our batteries. But when we bring those cruise ship expectations into other parts of our lives, well, that can be not so good. In fact, sometimes we're tempted to bring those cruise ship expectations into our life together as church, and that doesn't go so well. In fact, I want you to see how it goes when we bring cruise ship expectations into our life as church. Check this out.
Nick and Molly just moved to the city and can't agree on what they want. They are young and energetic and looking for a new church home. We'll take some personality tests, tour the sites, ask some questions, and based on taste, experience, and location, we'll find them the perfect congregation.
I'm Corey Clark, and welcome to Church Hunters.
We're so excited to find a church. We just started dating.
With the churches we go to now, just not, like, for us, just not really doing it for us, you know?
Right. I go to a satellite campus. I just find it hard to connect emotionally with a video screen. It's just...
Okay, you cried during Cake Boss. So, like, we've been doing a lot of services online, a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of preachers we do like.
Really good. But we want serious yet funny.
Yeah, like commanding of the stage yet relatable, you know?
We're more looking for the humor of Andy Stanley with the body of Stephen Furtick.
Hey guys.
What's happening?
I'm Corey.
Good to see you. My name's Nick. This
hey,
is Molly.
Hey guys, welcome to Church Hunters.
This is your first church. This is Creekside First Baptist. So while it is traditional, it's still pretty current. Just this year, the pastor started untucking his shirts.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Big deal.
He does dress his age though, so don't worry. He's past the Osteen suit phase, but he hasn't gone full Giglio yet.
Okay, so he's holes in the knees or no?
Well, it's frayed, but no holes.
Frayed, no. Okay, got it. Yep. Perfect. Okay.
So hey, let me show you around. Okay,
right, let's
come on.
Do it.
I do love this lobby.
It's a great lobby. You know, it's not too big, not too small.
Yeah.
Should be enough room to catch up, chat with your friends. But here's a great thing. There's a bunch of side exits, so if you need to leave early and catch the game, you can do that.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yes. Honestly, right up front, didn't love the name.
No. First Baptist? Who names a church that anymore?
Not these days. We're looking for like a Thrive Church, maybe Relevant Church, I don't know, Radiant Church, something.
This is the soundboard they use here. Now remember, it's pretty traditional here. So when Sunday comes around, they turn it way down low.
Got it. Yeah.
But the one knock on this church, they still use the child care numbering system on the screens.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Or as the moms like to call it, the sanctuary walk of shame.
The Sunday morning experience was just a little too traditional for us.
For us. I mean, the pastor's main point, 157 characters. I can't tweet that.
I really think you guys are going to love this place.
I like
we
it.
We do. We like it. Yeah.
You know, it's diverse, but it's not like too diverse, you know?
Scripture-heavy sermon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
What about, is it community-oriented?
Absolutely.
Great.
Women in ministry?
The parking situation, you guys got to see it. Super rare nowadays. Come with me.
It was like a maybe for when my parents come into town for a church for Christmas. Easter type of church.
Like a holiday type church.
One of the main reasons that I love this church for you guys is that on your personality test, Molly, you scored high in service and hospitality.
Oh, babe.
And there's a great welcome team you could join.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then, Nick, you scored really high in need for accountability.
Wow.
And the men's groups here are amazing.
You're just going to put that out there?
Hey,
just
God
like
knows
that?
Your heart, okay?
There are actually other episodes of Church Hunters. You can go on YouTube and see them. But here's a sad thing. Like, I know Nick and Molly. Or at least, listen, I've been guilty as a pastor of trying to cater to Nick's and Molly's. And it's a seductive kind of thing because it's easy to take cruise ship expectations and bring them to our expectations of church. And that doesn't work so well because nowhere in Scripture is there any image or any analogy that any of the Scripture writers use that compares church with cruise ship. In fact, in our Scripture lesson for this morning, we're going to hear quite a different image. We're going to see quite a different analogy for church. In fact, this is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll hear what the Apostle Paul has to say about being church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. For if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to your neighbor and deliver this message for me. The message is, you are enlisted. Can you do that for me? You are enlisted. You are enlisted. Now, obviously, in this passage of Scripture, Paul does not describe the church as a cruise ship. There were no lounge chairs, there were no umbrellas, there were no cabin stewards or attendants, no cabin ninjas that are coming around. So Paul doesn't describe church as a cruise ship, and neither does he describe church, as we often do, as a building or as an institution. In fact, Paul started a whole bunch of churches. He started churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Ephesus and Corinth. He started a lot of churches, but never once did he build any building. And neither did Jesus. You can't go anywhere in the world and even find the ruins of a structure that Jesus built, because Jesus didn't build a building, but Jesus did build a movement. And that movement is guided by a mission. The mission that he himself gave is he gathered his disciples together and he said, look, I didn't come for the healthy. I came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He also got them together and said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And then after his life, after his death and resurrection, before he ascended to the Father, his very last words, he gathered his disciples together in the Gospel of Matthew, and he delivered his last words. And his last words were, go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I've commanded you. Those are Jesus' last words to his disciples, and they should be our first priority. Because that's the mission that Jesus has given us, to be his hands and feet, to continue what he started, to do what he did, to seek the people he sought, to reach the people he reached, to love the people he loved. And that sometimes can be difficult, because Jesus loved even the most unlovable of people. In fact, he came for the whole world, and the whole world includes some people that might not be very easy to love. And yet Jesus has given us that task. He's given us that mission to love everybody. He even told them, hey, people are going to know that you're my disciple if you have love for one another. And the one another wasn't just the Christians in that circle. The one another was for the entire world. Everybody's our neighbor. And that's the task that Jesus gave us, to preach the good news with words and in action, to declare the good news that because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can be saved from our brokenness and from our sin, and we can become a part of a family, a body that will be Jesus' continuing presence in the world. And so that's what Paul's saying when he tells us that we are the body of Christ. That's we. All of us together are the body of Christ. Every single one of us is a part of this body. I mean, you heard what Paul said in verse 14. He said, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And it's all those members pulling together, working together, doing their jobs, doing our jobs. That's what makes the whole body capable of continuing Jesus' ministry in the world. Because that's a pretty daunting task, to be Jesus' continuing presence in the world. And it's too big a task for any one of us or a handful of us to accomplish on our own. We need the entire body. We need every member to be a part of this so that we can accomplish this task. And we not only need each other, when we come together and when we pull together as the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit invigorates us and gives us everything we need to do what Jesus has called us to do. And we've already seen that here this morning. Just this morning, we had people who, before anybody else arrived on campus, they got here, they came in, and they got some yellow vests with some reflection tape on it, and they went out and stood in the parking lot waiting on people to show up so that they can welcome them, show them where to go if they're new, and they could be the first wave of welcome as our parking team. We had people even before that who were busy organizing all the people who will serve just in worship today. We had people who sent out emails and got a whole schedule of communion servers ready and got our liturgist schedule ready so we could have the lay reader. And we had a group of people who on a weekly basis, they get together and they practice singing so they can lead all of us in worship. And all kinds of people working together. We've got folks down in the other building down the hill right now who are taking care of our children in the nursery so we can gather here and worship. All the members working together. Greeters at the doors, ushers showing people to a seat, handing out bulletins. All of this working, the body working together. And the reason we do that is because we have an incredible mission that Jesus has given us. And it's a mission that includes all of us. It's a mission we can't accomplish without all of us. And when I showed up here this morning, I didn't see Mickey Mouse. We're not on a cruise ship. There are no cabin steward ninjas. It's just you. And it's just me. And together, in the words of Paul, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We've got all parts to play. We've all got parts to play. And every single part is important. Every single part is essential as the body pulls together to do its work. Back in February, there was a group of men from Advent and I who went down to the United Methodist Men's Retreat in Myrtle Beach. And one of the speakers at the men's retreat was a guy named Jim Cowart. Jim is the pastor of Harvest United Methodist Church in Macon, Georgia. And I was captivated by what he had to say that day because he used an image for church that, I'll be honest, I mean, I've been around church for a long time. I've never heard anybody use this analogy. And so he said at Harvest Church, their recurring image, the analogy they use all the time for the members of Harvest Church, but also for the church universal, the kingdom, he said their image is the image of a battleship. And as I heard him talk about battleship, I thought, I'm going to borrow that. I like that. Here's what he said. Church is an all hands on deck, batten down the hatches, full speed ahead, lean, mean, fighting machine. You ever thought of church that way? Church is an all hands on deck, batten down the hatches, full steam ahead, lean, mean, fighting machine. This ship, he said, the church was built for a specific mission. It's called the Great Commission. It's Jesus' last words. It's our first priority. Go and make disciples. And he said, these are our orders. They come directly from our commander-in-chief, Jesus, who's the general on our ship. The church is a battleship. Now, on a battleship, you don't get a lounge chair and an umbrella. You don't get a cabin steward. You don't get towels folded like Disney characters. But you do get something even better. You get to be a part of a crew where everybody has a duty. And everybody gets to pull together to do their duty and to accomplish a big mission. We all got a battle station, and together we're on this incredible mission entrusted to us by none other than Jesus. And this mission is actually a rescue mission to continue Jesus' ministry, to continue to seek and save those who are lost, to continue to share the good news and retake this world, which for far too long has been held captive by the powers of darkness and sin and death. That is our mission. I don't know about you, but that sounds like something worthy of giving your life to. That sounds like it could be invigorating. I mean, I'm sure it's true. Cruise ships are good for a season. Everybody needs to recharge their batteries. Everybody needs to rest and relax. And everybody needs to be served every once in a while. But we were created to be a part of a different kind of ship. We were created to be a part of a battleship. We were created to be a part of the body of Christ, the ongoing presence of Jesus in the world, continuing His ministry, being His hands and feet. We're called to be a part of a battleship on a rescue mission. Now, doesn't that sound like an adventure you want to give your life to? Yes, some of you are nodding your heads, and that's so good. Because you were enlisted. You are the body of Christ. And individually members of it. Thanks be to God.